Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an Eke.
And James.
The Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This week on Minority Corner.
What is in your corner, James?
Ooh, I got LGBT board books list for you. So it is some LGBTQ plus books for them babies and the families.
Yeah, just in case you didn't know, board books for a baby. It's not a book that is bored. I don't know what baby that is.
Okay. It's my future baby.
That works.
Jasmine Felicia Jones. Miss Jasmine Felicia Jones. She's on her way.
I love how you have always stuck to that name.
That's
it
her
makes
name.
Me really happy.
Jasmine Felicia Jones.
It's a real person.
She is real in my heart. She's coming at ya. Just give her some time. She'll be here.
I know. She's gonna be here.
Start that countdown clock. 10 years. Put 10 years on the clock. Oh, God. Okay. Well, aside from board books for Miss Jasmine Felicia Jones, we also have some great topics to talk about.
Yeah.
I have a question to ask you about what you would do if your friend did this thing I'm going to ask you.
Yes. And I'm going to answer it when I hear what it is. I'm excited.
Also, I want to know if you've found out about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reboot.
I heard it's gritty.
It's gritty. We're going back to the b-ball outside of the school. There was a couple of guys.
I'm going to interrupt you to say rest in peace, John Singleton.
Yes, on that note, rest in peace, John Singleton. And also, it's been an action-packed weekend for things. No spoilers, but I do want to just like
we're talking about the Juggernauts.
The Juggernauts.
And not the X-Men
ones. And then not the X-Men ones, but the Juggernauts. We had Avengers and Game of Thrones come out this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And
No spoilers. We're not going to do that to you.
Not even. I think we're going to do a great job not spoiling it.
I have a feeling that we're good at that. We're not dicks.
Welcome to Minority Corner. We're not dicks. Aneke, I have a question for you.
So, ask me.
We're going to kick it off with ask you, Aneke, anything from me. It's kind of a hot topic, but it's also like, what would you do if you were in the situation?
Ooh, what would you, I like this.
Yeah. What would you do if one of your friends unknowingly took a photo with a hateful gay Republican congressman at Coachella and posted it to social media?
I would send them a private message.
Okay. Yeah.
I would be like, hey, P.S. I don't know if you want to be with this person at Coachella because of this and this, but I wouldn't put him on blast. I wouldn't put it in the comment section. Okay. I probably wouldn't sell it to the news.
Okay. Well, that's,
but I would send them a private message just because I'm discreet.
Let them know. I really sort of like that. I think that's a good way to handle anything. If there's someone who's doing something crazy on social media, instead of putting them on blast, like just having a private chat with them.
Yeah. Are you talking about that one guy?
Aaron, so this is based on a real life. This wasn't just a hypothetical experience.
Yeah.
So gay ex-congressman Aaron Schock, Republican congressman, he...
Shock jock.
Yeah. he was at Coachella and he was, you know, running around with a bunch of like other... Well, he's one of those shirtless muscle gays now. And there's a photo that surfaced of him with these other shirtless muscle gays. And people were just like, what the hell are you guys doing? And they had no idea who he was or what his record was. This guy was so like anti-gay when he was in the closet and as a congressman and just ruining the rights for LGBT people all over.
This is so confusing to me, this story, because to be... And trust me, I'm an outsider. I'm not a part of the community. I'm an ally. People can kick me to the curb for saying this, but let me know if I'm wrong or right.
Yeah.
But to be a muscly gay man and a part of that culture,
you're
kind of like peacocking about, right? Like you're on social media posting gym pictures.
Yeah, that is
you're
total
peacocking.
You're
shirtless running around festivals. That's a lot of look and a lot of proudness of who you are.
Yeah.
coupled with his hate of legislation of the whole community makes no fucking sense to me.
And his record of voting against, he has a strong record of voting against LGBTQ rights, including marriage equality and the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And it's just like, it's bewildering to me because on one end, I can understand that like, people, this is hard for me to, and I had to try to have compassion for as many people as possible. And I understand that sometimes people come to terms with who their sexuality is late in life, but it always is hard for me when people blatantly go out of their way to harm the rights of other people, you know?
Of the community that he's a part of.
Yeah, and so these, and so definitely people, the people that he was pictured with, these the gays, they put out a really big, social media post of like they didn't know who he was. They were just trying to be kind. You know, he just apparently like, jumped in their photo, and so
I feel bad for them. I feel bad for them. They're just minding their business, going to a festival, enjoying themselves,
having a great time at a festival. Yeah. Like I get it, and you might be like. Either inebriated on drugs or something, but you're in a higher state of whatever kind, or even just high up the music. Like, you are in a peak state. So you're just like, la-di-da with everybody. And you just see this other shirtless. I'm sure the last thing in your mind was thinking like, ooh, is that conservative ex-congressman who doesn't like...
It would be like... If we didn't know what Candace Owens looked like and we're at Afropunk and then she jumps into our picture, I'd be like, yay, this
That's
lady, whatever.
True. We wouldn't even be thinking twice.
I know.
That was a good reference. I was trying to think like who I could use. I was like, Stacey Dash, no, I'd clock her in a hot second.
Candace Owens, I'm not quite sure. Yeah, I know what you look like, but it's vague.
Nope, you have a better sight than I do because I know the name and I know she's black and I know I don't like what she says. So she couldn't be. So it's like, do we now need to like ask for ID before people jump into our photos?
Well, we can't be mad at the people who took the picture with the person because it's like they did not know.
Sure, I know, but I'm saying like, should they like ask for ID before? Like, should we now? Like,
I know. I
need to see some ID before you jump into my photo because we get taken to task for what gets put onto our social media.
I'm a woman in her 30s. There's no new friends. So if you're jumping in my photos, I'm like, who the fuck are you?
Who are you?
Get out. I don't care.
You're mama bear mode too. So you're like, who are you? Why are you here? Because you're protecting your baby.
Well, if I don't have my kid, I'm kind of a little bit more.
Okay. A little bit more like free. That's true. Okay.
It turns on, turns off. Turns on, turns off.
Depending on the situation. I love it. Right. See, moms, they got to be adaptable.
You got to. Come on. You can't be mom 24/7.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Ineke, for that. What would you do?
Fuck that guy. Like, seriously, fuck that guy. That guy sucks.
Well,
I mean,
and it's one thing, too, if he, again, I try to have compassion and allow for space to be for people to be able to learn and to grow and to come to the other side. But so far, I haven't seen that this congressman has said anything about his record or his journey, or what had happened or apologizing to the community.
Yeah, exactly. No going to charities, no like donations, no public. If you're going to be public with your shirtless naked time fun time, you need to be public with your donations and your support of the community as
He actually has a lot to atone for and needs to be, you know, donating to like the Trevor Project and to just be working out towards this community that he affected so negatively. Like he mm-hmm. should, in my opinion, should be his like life's work, because you know he's a white, wealthy, muscly gay man. There's a lot of privilege and a lot of power in that specific community. Like he has a lot of power and a lot of privilege. And so listen to you, I already forgot your name, but Congressman Shock, ex-Congressman Shock, you've got some work to do. So
it's true. It's
get to
so
work,
true.
Bitch. I'm just quoting a song.
Weird.
I was quoting a song.
Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag free Britney.
Speaking of, this was not even on the agenda to talk about. And look,
I mean,
how
you brought it up.
She brought it up. She wanted us to speak this, speak it into existence. You know, hashtag free Britney. It used to be hashtag free Brandy, but move over, Brandy.
Move over. It's Britney now.
It's Britney, bitch.
Our friends, Lady to Lady Comedy Podcast, they have a podcast called the Britney Graham, and they are on a mission to free Britney from her conservator. What is it?
Conservatorship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which
they
seems
are,
like it's... Oof.
they are caught up, and I'm writing my own business, reading this article on Vulture, and it mentions two ladies from Lady to Lady, who's Barbara and Tess.
Yeah, Barbara Gray and Tess Baker.
Yes.
Yeah, who have
the Brittany Graham podcast. And they're like, so, long story, I didn't even know that there was this Brittany controversy going on, and here I am, you know, a fan.
You're a fan.
Part of the, you know, I wouldn't say, I saw her in concert, I'm not marching in the army as hard, the Brittany army as hard as I used to be.
Is that where her fans are called? The Brittany army?
The Brittany army. Yeah, she got an army.
I like Britney, but I'm not that much of a fan.
Right. Well, I'm like in, I'm in the Air Force. We don't do much, but, well.
Air Force does a lot, excuse you. Andrew's Air Force.
Well, what I mean was compared to like the military training, I have many a family who was in Air Force.
I come from an Air Force family.
Like, I went to school on Travis Air Force Base. Like, I come from an Air Force family.
I want to pick something, but everything sounds insulting that I'm going
to
pick.
Only reason why I say this is because my uncle said the hardest part about his basic training compared to other military trainings, like, you know, mm-hmm. the Marines and yada, was learning how to fold his underwear. But I love the work that, thank you for your work and your service, those in the Air Force. I can say this because I'm from an Air Force family, so I'm making a joke.
Okay.
Now they're coming. Now the little army is coming after me.
I'm glad that you had to clarify because, you know, some people don't know that background and they could be like, what?
Well, that's true.
Would you say?
Why are you saying that? I was school on the Air Force base.
That's a tough one to pick.
I come from an Air Force family. Okay, so back to Brittany. So what happened was, months ago, I know that Brittany, she's supposed to go on her second Vegas residency. Vegas was wielding her bag, and then she was putting a pause in it because her dad had some health issues. So she wasn't she'd cancel the concert. And Brittany posted on Instagram very regularly. So then nobody had heard beep, and we just thought, like, okay, she's just, you know, tending to her family. But then I read this article came out of nowhere from me on Vulture, and it was like, everything you need to know about the Free Brittany controversy. I'm like, what?
Which is like, what? But what?
That was happening. So apparently the two ladies on the Brittany Graham, they had gotten an anonymous voicemail from someone who was essentially saying that Brittany had been being held against her will. And that's what kind of sparked this whole entire other thing. There was not something to be able to back up this anonymous source, but they're crediting that the source is very credible. And I know these ladies, like, and I feel like in the same vein, like, as podcasters, I couldn't imagine them. We know them, and I couldn't imagine them
they're not inflammatory that at all.
And especially for two people who, like, they love Brittany, and that's why they have the podcast to begin with.
Right. It was about Britney's Instagram. They're clearly stanning Britney Spears. They're fans.
Yeah, yeah. So the article is very interesting because it puts out a lot of different sort of potential theories and things that may or may not be happening. But yes, Britney has been in a conservatorship since 2009.
Which is a long-ass time. 10 fucking years?
Yeah. So conservatorship essentially means, like, she has, like, her father and I think her manager are essentially control over her estate. And essentially she has legal guardians all over again.
Isn't it usually reserved for people who are elderly or
mentally?
They don't have the mental capacity to take care of themselves,
which is also, I think, kind of in some ways, it was kind of speaking to what her mental capacity was at the time, that she did have, like, a psychotic break. And I remember watching a documentary. It was like, someone who had the psychotic break that she had should not be in the line of work that she is. And
was like 10 years ago.
True. And a lot of people want to take her to task for, like, oh, she doesn't dance the way that she used to. And I've said this for years. It's because she's medicated, and it has to deal. It messes up her sort of just way of moving and equilibrium. And
Give her a break.
Yeah. And I've seen, like, a shift. Like, I think that she's on less and less, like, medication. So she's bringing it a little bit more. And she just seems like a more her old self again. But apparently, one of the theories is that she was pushed into. And so then she had recently checked herself into a 30-day mental health facility, which is great. Like, when people self-checking themselves, like, talking about mental health and all that kind of stuff, take care of yourself, that's really great. Because apparently her father had taken a turn for the worse. But then...
yeah, that would affect anybody.
Well, apparently from this anonymous source that wasn't the case, that she was put into this mental health facility because of she either wasn't taking her medication or there was a mix-up. Like, she was trying to get off one medication and it just sort of fucked with her, which is like another thing too, like with some of this like medication that people are on, like there's sometimes it's a mix and match and people become just like mini laboratories. Yeah. And apparently
I wish that this was more private.
Well, yeah, and that's what she sort of asked for. But here I'm just spilling the tea, but just trying to catch people up on like what is happening.
So
there's a lot of a lengthy article. It was very an interesting sort of read. It's on Vulture. We'll link it. It's gonna be really sad for her more than anything. And also just to see our fellow podcasters.
I know, it's wild.
Up and they're just like, what are they? They're deep throating this. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what
Watergate.
I mean.
Watergate
yes.
deep throat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Family show.
Not really, though.
So, anyways, just, yeah. That's
wow,
what's going down.
Wild.
It is really wild.
Woo!
Well, someone also brought up something, too. It's this idea of, like, women not having, like, Britney's an example of women not having any agency or control. Sometimes not, still to this day, like, how your power can be completely taken away from you. The fact that she's 35, 36, and has a conservatorship.
Yeah. Like, has that didn't happen to Kanye, and he clearly
acting a fool.
So I don't know. It is. It does kind of boil down to like, is this a sexism sort of issue that we're dealing with right now too?
Yeah. Well, and I had read an article because her conservatorship had ended a few years ago, and I had read an article that said that she agreed. She willingly wanted to sign up for it because it was working well and for her.
Yeah.
And so it just, you know, you just never
it's
really
the narratives. Who's putting out the narratives? Too?
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Yeah. So
wishing her well.
Yeah. Ooh, someone else who's this, I don't mean to be the pity party of pop cultural news, but John Singleton passed away.
I know. Rest in peace, John Singleton. Did you know that he wrote and directed Boys in the Hood at the age of 23?
Yes. I just recently read that too. And he was the youngest director to ever be nominated for an Oscar at that time.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
I don't think he gets enough accolades.
Agreed. Yeah.
You know, I feel like he's done so much and people are just kind of forget about him.
And I think too, like, it's again, I feel like, you know, he's the Ryan Coogler of that time, like, of his time,
the
90s. Which isn't that far away. Like, I hate that.
Well, late 80s, early 90s.
So we're getting there.
We're getting older.
But I think, like, you know, Ryan Coogler is going to be this famed director. He's going to have a huge, huge, long, long career. I think that's going to be celebrated for decades to come. And I feel like John Singleton should have equally have had that. But just with the times of the 90s, it just goes to show how far that we ideally have come and just really weren't in the 90s.
Right, and the fact that he was 51 when he passed away today is
so
like,
young.
I know.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, just really enjoy all of his films. I think, did he do Poetic Justice?
He did do Poetic Justice, which I love that movie. Janet Jackson was nominated. Janet Jackson and Tupac, Poetic Justice.
Okay.
That's where I first heard the name Punani be from.
Stop.
Because my family, I grew up in a Janet Jackson household. We're like, ooh, Janet Jackson's in a movie. The whole family went. And
that's fun, though.
Racy film.
I know.
You gotta let him lick your punani.
Okay, that's wild. 90s. Good old 90s.
Janet was nominated for, I think, a Razzie for that movie.
Damn it!
I know. Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, Boys in the Hood was the first rated R movie I ever saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like 5.
I don't even remember the first R-rated movie I ever saw. Maybe it was Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh, that's fun. We had two very different rated R experiences.
I know.
All I remember is I fell asleep a few times because obviously I'm a child. And I just remember my mom's hand coming over. I just remember a hand over my eyes a lot.
Oh, so was there some sexy stuff that happened?
There is some sexy stuff in that rated R for risque.
I know. That is so funny. Oh man, speaking of risque. What were you gonna say?
We both have two. I was gonna say, speaking of the hood.
Okay. Where
are you going? Well, have you seen the trailer for Bel Air?
No.
Okay. We'll come back to risque in a second. Well, Bel Air is this guy, I think his name is Morgan Cooper. Link it. He did a sort of, I thought it was an actual movie that was coming out or a new series that was coming out.
Oh, so it's a fake one.
Right. But Will Smith just did like a huge interview with him because Will Smith is like totally co-signing on what this guy is doing.
What is it?
it's a reimagining of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air today, but in a more dramatic way. And if you think it leans itself really well, so it's like this kid who was in like this, you know, hard neighborhood in Philadelphia.
And I can see this kind of being like a Boys in the Hood sort of thing.
Yeah, it's really kind of interesting because if you add in the other dramatic layer to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, there's a whole entire other level of sort of like race and economics that you can tap into a lot more. And so it does that. Like,
interesting.
He gets in trouble. Like, there's a fight out while he was shooting some b-ball outside of the school.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. This is ridiculous.
But none of these lyrics are in it. But that's how I'm telling the story. I'm like, oh, yep. That song does just tell you everything you need to know. But it's all that. But it's like super serious. And the cops come in. So you can already imagine, like, in today's world, the cops arresting a young black man.
Totally.
Whole different. And so his mom sends him out to his, rich, like, relatives out there to get him out of this life. And so then it's this whole entire other sort of like level of race that is happening with him having to move in the middle of his junior year to Bel-Air, super white. And then he has this family living with this family who's very, you know, everyone's confronted with race. It's very interesting.
I like this.
Yeah. I'll link the video. And what's really great was just seeing him and Will Smith sit down and chat about it. Will Smith is like all about it. Like, was just so impressed with, they're like sitting in this balcony in Miami, like chatting about it. I'm like, Will Smith loves Miami. So anyways,
come on. He had the song about Miami.
He's still there.
No, he went from, I guess he's only lived in three places.
In Philadelphia, Bel-Air, and Miami. He did say, though, he was like, you know, doing the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air probably like saved his life, because it was like when he went out to LA, some of his friends were, you know, having altercations with the police. And so he's like, wow, this is actually like really like what my life would have.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's crazy. Oh my God, interesting.
What was your risque?
I'm gonna go back to risque. You've had some risque opinions.
R for risque. That's what we're gonna. This episode is rated. This episode is rated R for risque. What are my risque opinions?
I mean, there was a movie that came out this weekend.
Was there?
Yeah, I mean, you might have heard it. It's a little indie upstart. Just, I think it was a small budget. Maybe one D-lister was in it. I don't think that there's that many celebrities.
No one I would know of. No one of the listeners would know of.
No, maybe like two actors. It was just a very intense.
You talk about Avengers Endgame.
Yes, I am.
I did see that, and I forgot that I saw it, actually. You know, funny story.
Oh, see? Okay, right there.
Funny story. Shade. I was actually supposed to go see it today at 2:30. I was supposed to be in the theater. I was supposed to be getting out of the theater right now. I had bought my ticket to IMAX Monday. Uh-huh. But then as Thursday was rolling around, I was seeing all these advertisements. I was like, well, let me see if I can find a ticket. And I found like a last minute ticket with a really good seat Thursday night. So I went.
Look at you. Yes.
And then I canceled my ticket for today's show because I'll see it later. I'll see it again. Just, I didn't feel like I had to right then and there.
I mean, what you're saying to me is not that big of a deal because I only see movies once. Okay. That's my thing. I'm not like, I don't see movies.
I saw Infinity Wars twice in one day.
Wow. So yeah. You liked Infinity Wars better than Endgame.
I just had a different experience. And I'm not going to give any sort of spoilers or anything.
No spoilers. We're not going to do spoilers. None of that. It literally just came out. We're not dicks.
Not even doing that. Thanos demands your silence still. I think for myself, what I realized, it reminded me of this. Here's my analogy. It's like when, you know, the NBA playoffs happen and your team doesn't make it to the finals. You're kind of just a little less interested. You'll watch the game, but you're not as interested or as invested as if your team was playing, right? So it's sort of, for myself, like my favorite characters aren't really there's so many characters.
There's a ton.
And so many of my characters have either not in it mainly for one reason or another. And so I find myself just sort of not as interested in the plot.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just to counteract, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I wasn't expecting it to go the direction that it did, which I thought was enjoyable. It's one of those to me where it was like you really enjoy it and then afterwards you start thinking about it and you're like, huh, did I really enjoy it? But I thought it was good. It was a good tribute. But the thing that I want to talk about is...
the gay character. There's a gay character in it, finally.
Not that, but sure. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That's great.
Finally, out of 22 movies, there's finally an openly gay character, which is like a really amazing thing.
I know.
He doesn't have a name, but he's there.
Okay, so the question that I want to talk about is sharing opinions on social media about Juggernaut events.
Oh, I was like, Juggernaut from the X-Men?
No.
I was like, I don't remember him in that movie.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, yes. Huge events. Like let's say Homecoming, Beyonce film, yeah. Avengers Endgames, Game of Thrones. People have been, you know, saying a lot of things about this past episode that just came out.
Which I loved and had a great time watching.
Oh, yeah. I loved it, too.
That was...
I personally just like being entertained, you know? But I want to know about, like, should you give your opinion right away? Should you wait for other people to watch it to discuss your opinion? Do you think people should receive all opinions as equal? Should they be upset? Like, what do you think is etiquette for that?
Yeah, I mean, because all I did was I posted like my feelings. I didn't put any sort of like, I thought long and hard about like, posting anything after I'd seen it, and I went ahead and did it. It was more of like a thing wanting to get off of my chest, and for anybody else who had seen it, we could discuss further. And yeah. I also think that people, like for myself, when I'm scrolling through Facebook and stuff, like we have such freedom to be able to scroll through, and like, the way there's an appropriate way to like write something so it doesn't, you know, people can sort of see if they want to read something. You give them enough sort of leadway in between. So I definitely was sort of in that sort of realm. I think like one or two things. I know for myself that had I not seen Avengers this weekend, I probably would have just had an internet shutdown.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, this is a good weekend to, well, not the weekend that you guys are listening to this. It's the weekend prior right now.
Yeah.
because we're recording this on Monday. But this past weekend, I would say, was if you didn't have time to see anything, this was a good time to go to the park, because literally it's bombarded with everything Endgame, everything Game of Thrones. And also,
I just think like one thing I do love, and again, I'm not going to like stop going, I love Marvel movies. And again, I liked Endgame. I will go back and watch it. I have every intention of going to see it on an IMAX screen. I think for myself, getting to watch it the second time, it's the same thing that happened to me with Last Jedi. The first time I was like, I don't know. Second time I liked it better because I knew it was going to happen, so all of my expectations were gone. So I could then just appreciate it and experience it, as opposed to being like, well, why isn't that happening? Well, where's so-and-so? That doesn't make any sense. You know, I don't have any of those experiences.
But if you didn't like it, it's okay to not like it, too.
But I'm also saying, like, for explaining to you, my friend, it's not that I didn't like it. I actually really did. I did like it. I would need to watch it a second time. Sometimes for me, it takes a second time for me to get like a full... understand my whole entire experience of it. I derailed from what you were originally talking about.
Oh, it's just like the discussion of like the etiquette of time and how it should be. You actually didn't. You like gave a really good point where it's like you can scroll. You don't have to address it. Like, and you're on social media, you can go past it, you know?
And as opposed to like do an appropriate sort of like, hey, like spoiler alert, and do a lot of like riff, and there'll be the cutoff. You know, like you give it some time
so people
can have that opportunity.
You know what I've been really kind of hating on and that kind of pissed me off recently?
What?
Is people who have been just upwardly stank, who have been like not a part of it. Like, oh, I don't watch Game of Thrones. Oh, I don't watch Avengers. What is all this? When are people going to shut up about it? Oh, is something happening this weekend? I want it to me that... is worse than not liking a film that you're a part of the culture of, though. Like, if you watch all the Marvel films and you just happen to not like one of the films, you can express that, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you haven't seen any Game of Thrones, if you haven't seen any Avengers, if you haven't seen any X-Men, if you haven't seen any big, huge event, Beyonce, whatever, stay out of it. Like, why do you have to rain on people's parades who do enjoy it?
You know what? Because a part of them wishes that they could be in it. And it's easier for them to hate on the outside. And mm-hmm. they probably, like, sometimes there's, like, this people have, are afraid of connection and being part of the big, larger whole. So it's easier for them to be on the outside and then tease that outside. But secretly, they want, I find that for myself, like, when I'm at the gym and I see, like, I'll see, like, you know, these three guys who are, like, all, you know, muscly and hanging out. And maybe they're all gay. And I'll be like, ugh, what's up with them? Yada, yada. And I'll make all these sort of comments in my head about them. But when I realize, like, oh, I wish I was like I wish I had that, or I was hanging out with them. So that's what I would say.
I think that's good, because it's like, I don't watch baseball.
But you're not like, when the World Series is coming on, like, peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
I let people enjoy what they enjoy. Jesus.
If it's not for you, it's not for you. And I will say, what I really appreciate about what I think this Marvel thing has done, I mean, 33 million people went to watch this thing this past weekend. I mean, event television kind of doesn't exist. Once Game of Thrones ends, people don't, there's not really, we watch TV at such different times now.
Right. Game of Thrones is like definitely event TV.
Yeah, and so it's kind of the last of an era, but it's also like Marvel was able to create event viewing because you wanted to see it this weekend because you wanted to be a part of the conversation. You don't want anything ruined for you.
Right.
And, you know? And so it's kind of like, I love that we still have these moments in time where we can all, you know, watch something together. Right. I think that's
a
really cool experience.
The theater was joyous. It was fun. People were excited. People were happy. It was nice to be in a situation where you have a group of people together that are having a good time.
Yeah, which is kind of rare. Like, I mean, we're such a divided world. So it is nice to be able to, you know, everybody better come together. So,
and plus, Disney better be getting those reparation monies ready
together.
From those billions that they're making.
Yes, reparations now, Disney. Reparations now.
Mickey Mouse was blackface.
See, in that case, last week's corner for details.
Don't let it go.
Okay. Well, on that note, let's get into the corner. We're gonna get out of the movies and into the books.
Ooh,
the LGBT,
you know, I like
books,
some books
for kids. This
Hell
is
yeah.
for you, my librarian friend.
It's just a book episode, because we're getting into double the books.
Out of the movies and into the books.
Unless you binge watch TV at least 80 hours a week, Inside Pop is definitely not for you.
Sean, that's a little extreme and also not quite true.
Okay, Amita, how about Inside Pop is the podcast for people who love and appreciate the best pop culture has to offer?
Oh, much better.
In every episode, we interview the people who create the culture you crave.
Past interviews include the showrunner of Ava DuVernay's Queen Sugar and Mudbound director Dee Reese.
You'll also get the very best pop culture recommendations in our Big Sell segment.
Plus the opinions of two TV producers who are pop culture obsessives and actually do binge 80 hours of TV a week.
Eyeballs. So tired.
Listen to Inside Pop every other Wednesday on the Maximum Fun Podcast Network.
Books. Not planned. Both of us.
Works.
I like how both of us are about to go into a song about books. Realize we both were singing about books. And then stopped our songs. What was your song going to be?
Basically me just saying books over and over again to a funky beat, which sounds like what you were
going
to do.
I was going in the same direction, but I had a few more lyrics like books, books, books for kids. LGBT, books for kids.
Yeah, I like that.
We have a mashup and yours just keeps going books.
Books, 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 books.
Books.
I don't
books for kids. Books for LGBT kids and their families. See, it works.
Okay.
Our new hit single coming out soon.
Books.
Okay. Okay, so this amazing article comes from a website called Mombian, Sustenance for Lesbian Moms.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, and so they put together a little list of new LGBT books that are coming out for folks if you have LGBT families.
Yeah, or just any folks, because, I mean, we need to be inclusive across the board so kids can know, you know?
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. But definitely, especially, but especially, you can imagine that it's hard if you're an LGBT family. Like,
right, you finding want representation.
Books for, yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. So here is a fun little list. There are six books that are coming out. Some of them are about to be released just in time for Mother's Day, actually.
Yeah,
too.
Mother's Day is coming up. May.
If you have a new LGBT mommy coming into the works,
it's
great little book.
It's gonna be May.
It's literally going to be May. Mm-hmm. And it's already, it's you.
It already is May when this is coming out. Whoops.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. It's already May. May. Do you know why they do that? That's a Max Martin thing. Well, any song, if you, Britney Spears also goes, anytime she says me, she goes May. Oh. And it's a Max Martin thing. And it's has to do with the producer.
Sweetest producer.
The sweetest producer, Max Martin, who has a monopoly on number one hits. Google that.
I mean, it's pretty good. It's he pumps them out.
He's like, here's another hit. but it's in the way that, because like the E sound when you're singing, the vowel, it gets really nasally. So if you get an A is like one of the most pure sort of vowel sounds that you can get out. Oh. So that's why they try to, a lot of singers try to get their E's to be more A-ish anyways. But that's
interesting.
Why.
Interesting. Dropping little tidbits.
Yeah. Okay. So this first book comes from Robin Stevenson. It's called Pride Colors, and these are all board books.
I
did not know what a board book was until
it's for
I
babies
read this article.
And non basically
which is why like I'm not part of the demographic exactly because yeah. I gnaw on other things that was not supposed to be nasty.
Oh my God,
Aneke,
this is a, like a family corner right now. This is a family
to, you did that
corner. You're
you,
talking about
you did that
you're not even
that was
talking
you.
About regular books, you're talking about bored ass baby tiny baby books. Board
that
books are
you.
For tiny babies.
That was you. Okay. I am still a 14-year-old teenage boy who
yikes.
Just discovered his penis.
Yikes.
Okay. So this back to the board books.
See? What the hell?
All right.
Whiplash.
See you guys next week. We can't do the rest of the show. Okay. So this takes the original meaning of the colors in the pride flag as envisioned by Gilbert Baker, who he did the first pride flag. And a friend of mine was friends with Gilbert Baker and is actually going to be walking the flag. Gilbert Baker passed away in 2017 and is going to be part of the contingent walking the flag at the World Pride Festival here in New York.
Nice.
It's a little tidbit. I find he's old. And he turns.
Why'd you have to throw that in there?
Just do the math.
Let your friend
that.
Live.
We'll fix it in post. You know. He okay. know. He know how old he is. Oh, Gilbert Baker turns it into a poem and turns this into a poem from the parent to the child.
Oh,
and it
I
helps him
it.
To learn about the colors. So the book is a celebration of self and relationships. It also has images of babies and toddlers. And sometimes there are two moms or dads.
I love
and,
it.
And here's a little quote from the book. Yellow sunshine, smile so bright. I'll hug you, kiss you, hold you tight. And so aww. What's really cool, yellow in the pride flag means sunshine. That's what it stands
oh,
for.
So
is sunshine.
It's actually using the meanings from the pride flag into
exactly.
the baby book. It isn't just like made up like
yeah, just like ooh,
green
this
is
cute.
For grass. Okay.
Yep.
That's,
no,
okay.
Yeah. It actually corresponds to the colors. So you're learning about what the colors are.
I love it. That's so beautiful.
And so there's a mention of Pride Day fun, but in the end, the author of this blog was saying that, you know, the book is less about LGBTQ history and more about the sentiments that extend far beyond a single day or month. So just the sentiments of what the Pride Festival really represents. So you'll be learning about those all year long as opposed to just like around Pride. And so, yes. Apparently there's like a lot of uplifting statements, gentle rhythms, and a lot of bright photos.
Cute.
So also link the Amazon. All these are available on Amazon as well.
Oh, wow.
This
okay.
one, I don't think, comes out until May 9th. So you can get on the wait list.
No, because by the time this comes out, it's going to be like right around the corner.
Well, they still won't. They can still pre-order it, but May 9th will not have happened yet.
Oh, that's true. Unless you are late listening to this episode.
Then you're just in time. Or if you've, you know, Avengers style, used some quantum physics or something and gone back in time and time dash, then maybe that's happened
too. To
listen
to this podcast? All right.
Well, okay. That's what you did with your... Hey, you know what? No judgments on what you chose to do with your time stone. Use the MIM particles however you want to. Not solving civil rights or anything. The second book, Rainbow, A First Book of Pride. This one is by Michael Genhard and illustrated by Anne Pastier. And this one comes out in May. Earmuffs in May. It uses essentially the same concept as the previous book, but it's in a more literal way. So you have two different books that are going to be kind of talking about like Pride
so
and what
it
means.
So we got a Pepsi and a Coke for the Pride
you
flag
do.
Baby books.
You do have a Pepsi and a Coke, so choose wisely. You have your Britney, your Christina, you have your Pepsi, your Coke. Okay, but this one is described, so this Coke to the Pepsi, or I don't know which, I'm not going to say who's who.
No.
So this one is described as a must-have. This is by Amazon.
Okay.
For young readers, and a great gift for Pride events throughout the year. It's got beautiful colors, all together make a rainbow in Rainbow, a First Book of Pride. So it sounds very similar to the other book to me.
But one is one's a board book and one is older, right?
No, they're both. This is also too. I think these are all board books from this list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's all about the same sort of demographic of youngsters to read this. Cool. So
you can always have multiple books. Nothing's wrong with that.
You can have. And kids, and you know what? Best way to learn information is in different ways.
Hello.
And the same in different ways. It's helpful.
That's the truth.
I'm learning Spanish through a program called Fluence, and it's very good. It's expensive, but it's good.
Okay.
If you're really trying to learn that language, you've got to drop some dollars. You can't just get that Duolingo. Okay. They don't give us any money. So Amazon describes this book as a sweet ode to rainbow families.
Aww.
And an affirming display of a parent's love for their child and a child's love for their parents. With bright colors and joyful families, this book celebrates LGBTQ plus pride and reveals the colorful meaning behind each rainbow stripe. So readers will celebrate the life, healing, light, nature, harmony, and spirit that the rainbow in this book will bring.
This sounds very similar.
So I have an expert to read from this book.
Okay, we'll compare.
It's rainbow.
All like, yellow is sensitive. No, sorry.
Well,
no,
okay, actually, well, right, no, okay, let me get there. Okay. Rainbows. Every color means something. Red means life.
Oh,
orange is healing. And then it shows two parents, one of them who might be genderqueer, helping a child who has fallen off a bike. It continues through all the colors of the rainbow doing the same sort of thing.
I like that. I think that's perfect for kids.
Yeah. Oh, and the red means life shows a heavy red image of two dads happily holding their newborn.
Perfect.
Love it.
Yes.
And just so in case you're like, what do the other colors mean? Green is for nature. Oh, and Eke was right on the grass front.
Oh, look at me.
Blue, peace and harmony, and violet, spirit.
Violet is spirit. You know why? Because you can't see violet.
Ooh, where is it? It's right here. It's on me. And the book ends with a spread showing all the families from the book waving rainbow flags and walking together. I guess in like a pride parade, the author wasn't completely sure, but it looks like a pride parade.
You could just assume it's a pride parade, or maybe, you know, you could be like, it's a get together.
Well, according to one reader, it was less warm. It's a less warmly personal book than the other book, makes a bright introduction to the colors of pride and images of the LGBTQ families. So this is the Christina Aguilera between the two books. This is the Christina.
Let's move on with your shady comments. So
the next one, people, you know exactly what I meant when I said that, too.
That's why I'm saying let's move on.
Love Makes a Family, book number 3.
Okay.
This is a very cheery board book in the vein of many other children's books that showcases a range of family diversity. And so Sophie Beer, the author... Beer stands out for the fun, dynamic, and gently humorous illustrations. She's an award-winning illustrator, and apparently it shows in this book. So each spread begins with love is, and so it'll then finish that sentence up and have like a picture that goes with it.
Okay.
So it might be love is waking up bright and early, and then that shows two dads yawning in bed as their children march in playing drums and maracas.
Ugh, I would hate that.
And like, it's supposed to be a warm feeling that this book is.
Can you imagine
baby,
being woken up
baby,
to
don't you
drums
do this.
And maracas? No,
don't
thanks.
You do this, baby. This is a book of that is not love. Love is
they
not
just
waking
beat
up.
At that point, it's just cacophony.
Okay, what about this one? Love is watching from the front row, and then it shows two moms enjoying their children putting on a backyard performance.
Okay,
I mean, if it's good,
I hope. Are they cheating out to the stage? They better. Like they told me to do during my wedding.
And it worked. And you know what? They got their mamas. You're a performer mama, so you be knowing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be knowing.
Speaking of which, my anniversary is tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah, 3 years.
I was just talking about your... Congratulations. Yes, I was just talking about your paper flowers at a wedding. Not at a wedding.
I was going to be, don't be like,
nope.
My friend had better flowers than this.
Nope. I think you were talking about how expensive flowers are.
That's the
you
reason
had
why
beautiful
I did
paper
flowers.
Yeah, because they're so expensive.
In terms of labor.
You might as well just, you could have paid yourself that amount of money.
Take.
Oh, God. But they were beautiful.
Thank you.
And so other pages show single and different sex parents and their children in this joyful look at the family. So it has like, love is baking a special cake. Love is lending a helping hand. Aww. Love is reading one more book. And they show all these different things happening with these LGBT parents.
I love it. This is also good to stack up on your books because I've noticed you kind of blow through some books.
I was going to say, you need to have a reserve.
Okay, let's read this book. And then like, I'm done. I'm like, let's read this other book.
And then you're gone. I mean, these, you can finish several books in a day. Yeah. I mean, these, you need an anthology series.
Yeah, I know.
Is what you mean. Ooh, here is an anthology series.
Oh, okay.
Well, not really. It's just two different books.
Sure. Two makes an anthology.
There is an anthology later on that we'll get to that you might be interested in too. Oh. So this one is called, so number four, mm-hmm. It's My Two Moms and Me or My Two Dads and Me. I say by them both.
Yeah.
So they're by Michael Justin, mm-hmm. with illustrations by Isaac Dinu. And these are board books that depict everyday lives of children with two moms or two dads. Mm-hmm. So the description of this book is...
So just everyday regularness. I mean, come on.
It's, yeah, I mean, this probably is going to be a bit of a boring book. Yeah, you're just going to see people doing boring things.
Cook some dinner, yeah. Watch some TV.
We do it too.
I know.
We do it too. And it's literally the everyday, everybody poops of everyday life.
I like that. That's good.
That's what I should write a review of this book. Families with same-sex parents are celebrated in this book that follows busy moms and dads and their kids throughout their day, eating breakfast. Yep, like you mentioned, getting dressed, heading out to the park.
There's only so much
back,
you can do.
Setting back at a night with a bubble bath and a good night lullaby.
Aww.
So LGBTQ plus parents and their families and friends will welcome this inclusive and cheerful book that reflects their own lives and family makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little excerpt from this book.
Okay.
Are you enjoying these little excerpt readings that I'm giving you from these board books?
Yeah, give me it.
Bring Maya here so she can hear me read these. When I open my eyes each morning, I see my smiling moms.
Aww.
The mom version begins, while the first person text reads as if it were a single child narrating the whole. However, the illustrations show a different family for each spread. So this could be considered, the author was saying this could be a little disorienting for folks because you're going to different families, so it might be a little confusing for the child at first, but it is good to see images of different families because they all have different racial and ethnic identities, so that's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, I mean, of course it's going to be confusing for a baby. I just found out this fact. I found out, so little baby was looking at herself in a mirror, and I thought that she was
seeing herself,
and she was like giggling hella, and we were like, wow, she loves herself. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Turns out babies at 2 months think that they see another baby. That's why they're laughing.
You thought she was just Beyonce feeling herself.
Yeah, no, she's like, who's that baby?
Ooh, that baby making a funny smile. Ooh, that baby.
So yeah, that baby's going to be confused.
I wish I could be so easily entertained. Don't you wish you just put a mirror in front? Man, and if only that would last. You're just like, let me just get the mirror and she'll entertain herself.
It does not last that long. I mean, she gets bored with it. She'll
figure it out.
She turns away after
she's
a while.
Like, ooh, that baby boring. No. It's you. So there is a critique of this book.
Okay.
So the families in this book, they wear very stylish clothes because the author, Zenu, was a leading fashion illustrator for a long time.
Like Scientologist, Zenu?
Fashion designer was a leading...
No, Zenu?
Fashion... No, not that guy, no.
Okay.
No, the illustrator's last name is Zenu.
Is it X-E-N-U?
Isaac... No, it's with a Z, actual Z.
Okay.
Isaac Zenu. It's like, no, not a former Scientologist. Not Zenu, the Scientology god or whatever. So a lot of the people, the families seem very well off. In the book.
So people are like, look at these bougie folk.
Yeah, they're kind of bougie LGBT people eating, they're buying organic kale at the farmer's market.
Damn, they're hella bougie. What's this bougie
ass? Off to the pool. The 2 months of the pool. And so it might resonate with some families, but not others, because according to the Williams Institute, LGBT couples with children are almost twice as likely as non-LGBT peers to have incomes near the poverty line.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, I think it too, also you think about, like, I think it's a balance too, because I think it's, there's a lot of times the extra money that has to go into either adopting a child or doing all the different sort of things that happen.
Costs money.
But then, it costs a lot of money, so there is that. So, and also too, I think for women, again, women, especially if it's two moms, they're going to be, statistically, they're going to be getting paid less than men because of the gender pay gap.
Yeah, and so, also maternity leave is bullshit.
And maternity leave is bullshit. So, you know, but sometimes it's, you know, nice to have the Huxtables of, you know,
gay literature. You can always aspire to greater kales out there, yep. Greater kale pastures. Kales.
Yeah. Well, these books are very similar to two other books that came out a long time ago that you might know of. There's Mommy, Mama, and Me. Mm. And on the cover of this one, it looks like a white and a black mama. Mm. And then on Daddy, Papa, and Me, these came out in 2009 together. Mm. It looks like a white dad and an Asian daddy on the front.
Okay.
And not like, you know, daddy, you know, like dad.
We're talking about babies. You don't have to clarify, James.
I'm just making sure everyone's on the same
page. We are talking about babies.
Okay. And then there's...
speaking of daddies.
Oh.
A friend of mine...
Oh, look at you.
Not a friend. Turning the tables. A co-worker gave me a book. Okay. It's a book. It's like a kid's book. It's a little bit older. Okay. It's these two polar bears, and it's like Ivan and Muck Talk or whatever.
Yeah.
Gets into trouble. Bad bears. Why are they dressed like leather daddies?
Oh, kids gotta learn.
Like little black learn. Vest with a little hat.
Oh my God, get out of here.
I'm
that
serious.
Author knew what they were doing.
I'm gonna
That's
send
funny.
You a picture when I get off of this.
Please do. Mm-hmm. So then Stacey Bromberg and Joe Travaglia, they have a book. They had a book that was very sort of similar plot lines as these other two as well. This came out in 2012. So it's Hugs of Three, My Mommies and Me. And this is a definite biracial moms on the cover. It's like she black and she white. So that's really cool to see on the front.
It's just obvious.
There's no, on the other ones, I'm like, I don't know, maybe. This one's like definite. Yeah,
okay.
And then Hugs of Three, My Daddies and Me, definite black guy and a white daddy.
Okay. A little swirl action.
Little swirl. So each kind of offer a slightly different mix of racial and ethnic diversity. Mm-hmm. So again, if you like the plot line of it and you're like, you like the same plot line, but you want it in a different flavor, you can just, you know, buy all of these books.
Yeah, no, that's good. Also, it's like, I do kind of wish that there was more like black LGBT, or, you know, like, I feel like there is a lot of interracial couples in the LGBTQ books, which is great.
Right.
I'm not opposed to that at all, but I do feel like there isn't a lot of just like, oh, it's a black gay couple or it's a black lesbian couple, you know, like,
yeah,
or
no,
Asian couple, you know,
like a, yeah, like an Asian lesbian couple or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, here's the last one I want to leave you with, which I think that you'll really like.
Okay,
if you're looking for this greater variety of LGBTQ inclusive storylines, here is one that's part of an anthology series. It's part of the Tinyville Town Book series, which showcases a very diverse community doing just everyday things.
Yeah.
We love books about people just doing things.
That's because babies gotta learn. Babies don't know.
That's how we teach them. All you gotta do is just do this everyday normal thing, but brush your teeth.
Literally every book job. Is about like, today we brush your teeth, we get out of bed. They don't know.
And then they'll be like,
they scream,
oh my God,
when they
it's
fart
like in that...
because they don't know.
They're like, ooh, it's like in that book that I read.
Yeah.
I'm doing the thing in the story.
Yes,
and then
exactly.
They like, get all excited. So this came out in 2017. Brian Biggs has a book, part of the Tinyville Town series called I'm a Librarian.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew that gets your interest.
It's
peaked. So it focuses... Yeah, it focuses on the town librarian going about his job.
Yeah, do your work.
Along the way, it shows him getting out of bed in the morning.
Yes, you gotta do it.
Where his husband is sleeping.
Yeah.
And then coming home to read in bed next to him at night. But it's not about LGBTQ families.
It's just
or
about
even
being
families
a librarian.
Per se. And he just happens to be gay.
I love
so,
it. That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Ooh. I need to buy that book. Buy me that book. I got a baby.
Okay. Done and done. I have False Alarm. Last one. Okay, really quick. Okay. This one is called They, She, He.
Ooh,
easy
pronouns.
As ABC.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a pronoun one. Yeah,
that's why I want to make sure you get to this one. This is good.
And that's essentially the purpose of the book. This is by Pura Belpri Honor Award winner Maya Gonzalez and Matthew Smith Gonzalez. Mm. And it's a follow-up to the 2017 book, They, She, He, Me, Free to Be.
That's good.
And this is a joyous celebration of pronouns and identities. And there's dazzling illustrations by Gonzalez. And also to populate this new work, as we meet an alphabet of friends who dance their way from A to Z, and Z being the like Z-E.
What is that?
So that's what, great, glad you asked. Yeah. That's why we're going to get this book.
I know.
So that's people use Z-E when the gender is either unknown or someone wishes to avoid assuming their gender. So like, you could say
instead
of you can all, that's not the only one that you can use.
Okay.
There's a few of them. There's
okay.
also like,
cool.
There's Zir, which Z-I-R, and there's also Her, H-I-R. So there's different ones. And so this one takes you all the way to the alphabet.
Oh.
And then you also learn.
Okay.
Yeah, and so there's apparently they all dance their way to a dance party at the
what?
End. Yeah, no one left out, and everyone free is part of the sing-song rhyme and inclusion that gets happened.
That's
as they all learn their different dance moves and learn about gender along the way.
I love
so,
it.
So yeah,
yay,
there we
James.
Are. I took you to the library.
Yeah, I am very proud of this book list that you brought to the table.
You were on the edge of your seat the entire time. You do love books.
I do.
And I love that I got to almost cap it off with the finale with the librarian one. And then Avengers post-credit sequence style.
You had a postscript.
Stick around.
I love it.
We'll list all of these. You can get these all on Amazon or join the wait list.
Thanks so much to the over 28,000 members who joined or upgraded during the 2019 Max Fund Drive and to all of our monthly members.
To celebrate hitting our goal this year, we're putting the 2019 Max Fund Drive pins on sale for all $10 and up monthly members.
As in past years, you'll be able to get some pins and support a great cause at the same time. The proceeds from this year's sale will support the National Court-Appointed Special Advocates Association.
National CASA does amazing work for children and youth through a national network of 950 member programs. We are proud to be able to support them.
The pin sale will run from April 29th until May 10th. And if you're a $10 and up monthly member, your personalized code is waiting in your inbox right now. For more details, you can head over to MaximumFun.org/pins.
And once again,
thank you.
Tweet of the week.
Yeah, see, you did it this time.
I got you.
Remember that you can always tweet us at Minority Corner, spelled with a K. And I got this tweet. Well, James, you and me got this tweet.
Oh, this tweet. Okay, yeah.
Okay, so I want to do two tweets because both of them are awesome.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so the first one is from at And She Was, wrote, all the love to Ms. Fitzy, that's me, on her openness on hating being pregnant on Minority Corner. It's okay to hate it. It's okay to love it. It's all okay. Let's support our people giving birth. # variations of normal.
Ooh,
that's nice.
I like that.
One, I didn't know I was hating on being pregnant so much, so I'm sorry if I was negative about it, and I completely agree. Some people love being pregnant. Some people hate being pregnant.
Some people hate it.
Some people
it,
are neutral about being pregnant. And it's all correct, and it's all fine.
I smell a board book coming along.
Everybody pregnant.
Some people, everybody pregnant. Some people love it, some people hate it.
Okay, here's the other one. This is from at Bryn Overton, Miss Fitzy, me, and James Arthur M., obviously you.
Me!
Had me fucking laughing so hard listening to Minority Corner today. Congrats on the baby, Miss Fitzy. It's good to hear you're back on the show.
Oh, yeah. It is good to hear you back on the show.
It's fun. And it's just like, you know, it's good to be back. I'm really enjoying it.
Well, we enjoy having you here. And next week, you've got a,
I got a book listicle for us.
So we're going to keep that for next week.
Yeah, it's going to be top up-and-coming books that came out recently written by Black women that you should look into, put on your book list, get ready, read them, get excited. I've read a few of them so I can give you my personal reviews. And it's from Essence, a magazine that I'm revisiting.
Oh, it's coming back in your life. It's having a resurgence.
Yeah, I'm loving Essence now. It's good. I mean, it was good. It's always been good, but it's back in my life and it's good again.
Oh, everything good is good again. Get that good, good.
That's another Sometimes board
things
book.
Make... Get that good, good?
No, everything is good is good again.
That's true. That happened to me with Grey's Anatomy recently. Oh. It's gotten good again. Nice. I was still watching it, and it's just sort of like when you watch that old thing that seems like it's just, you know, you watch
limping
it.
Limping along.
She back. I love and she that. Has new life, a new lease on life. Like, hasn't been this good since, like, season three.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like, she good.
Okay, cool. She doing I love good. It.
Awesome. Well, you can also email us at minoritycorner@gmail.com and ask us anything, and we do mean anything. And we can also not answer it if it's weird or inappropriate.
Yeah.
Like, you can ask us anything, but we don't have to answer it if
discretion.
It's just wild.
No, use
you
your
know.
Discretion.
You know. And then we also have the Minority Corner Kids Playground.
Yes, on Facebook. Check that
on
out.
Facebook.
People are still Check it out. In there.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
And yeah. Well, thank you to Woody, our
thank
editor.
You, Woody.
We love and appreciate it so much.
Thank you to Brownout
for supplying the music.
Yep.
Thank you to Max Fun for allowing us to do this here, I guess.
Yes.
And thank you all for listening to Minority Corner.
Because together We're the majority. Why did you stretch that out?
Ooh,
you stretched that out.
I was trying to
sync
it with you.
Long.
I was trying to sync it with you.
You don't have to just say it. And then we can do it.
See you guys next
Bye.
Week.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.